Good morning, everyone. Those of you who haven't met me yet or know me, my name is Willie, married to my beautiful wife Angie for 27 years, father of three, oldest girl 25, a son, the dinosaur is my son, he's 21. So I just want to speak full truth this morning. Janne sê, he's, Vianne is just a normal guy, that's not the full truth. Die reine waarheid is, he's close to normal. Where are you? I love you so much. Amazing. So, this morning, yes man, I'm one of those guys that I don't enjoy mediocre. I like things that, you know, I like people to get to repent, to get baptized, to be slain in the spirit. I enjoy to see demons flee. I enjoy the powerhouse scriptures, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. But I think we've spent some time on prayer during the course of the last few weeks, and we haven't touched on one thing. And the title of a preach that the Lord laid on my heart this morning is, what is hindering your prayers? Because sometimes prayer is not answered. Now, Ems mentioned this morning, when you pray under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I think we all came to know this, that sometimes we pray out of our selfish needs or desires. It's just selfish prayers. And James says, hence those prayers aren't answered. We pray out of our own selfish desires. But there can be some obstacles that can actually hinder your faith. So it's kind of a negative maybe starting this morning, but trusting as the sword of the sword comes this morning, that it will cut away what is not from the Lord. And I know that's the thing about change. Dit gebeur nie altyd onder narkose nie. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's necessary to die in ourselves. And I just know the Lord's true to his word. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But he also said, blessed are those who hear my word and obey. I just want to call up Aiden quickly, just share something that happened in our elders' meeting this morning. I was on my knees early morning. I woke up at 4, but I was on my knees on my way to church. We had a flat tire. So I was changing the tire. I don't know whether my knees are still dirty. It's okay. But my son said, Dad, they do it in F1, they do it in like 2.8 seconds. It took you like 3 minutes. My vrou sê altyd, ek's goed, ek's net stadig, maar ja.
Just in the elders meeting this morning, I said, nothing happens per chance. So the fact that Willie got a flat tire this morning was actually kind of part of God's plan. And I believe God actually speaks to us through that. And it's interesting. I said to him, if I look at it, it's actually that I remember my dad. My dad was a good father. My sister, we gave her a car. And he said to her, okay, now I want to teach you how to go ahead and change a tire. And I said, okay, cool. So how many ladies over here know how to change a tire? Well done. So your dad's taught you well. Because they were good fathers. Because if something goes wrong and you're stuck on a road in the middle of nowhere, you need to know where it is. And I actually said in the meeting, I said, I wonder if my wife knows where the jack is and all the other things and how you do all those things. It's very easy to phone a friend, but sometimes there's no signal. But I just felt for us this morning, that's actually what God wants to do. Is I really feel that it's what God's laid in Willie's heart this morning is to go ahead and actually come as a loving father. And you know him as a father. I think he's actually touched a lot of people through deliverance and rest there. And he's a person that actually I respect as a father in the house. And I believe he's giving us tools this morning to teach us how to go ahead and actually change things in our lives to go ahead and enable us to move forward. So I want you to receive him this morning and receive his word in light of that. Cool.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yes, I think it was rather prophetic as I drove. You know, I just heard this noise and it was absolutely flat on the tar. So I had to change it before I could actually arrive at my destination. And I think likewise, you know, sometimes we receive truth, but just receiving the truth and not applying it in your life doesn't bring the fullness. You won't walk in the fullness of what God has in store for you if you don't. The blessing comes by hearing and obeying. So I want to start. The first scripture is 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Man, I just love this scripture. Peter says the following. Thanks, Lonnie. For Christ also suffered for the sins of the righteous. For Christ also suffered once for the sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. He was righteous, we are unrighteous, that we might to bring us to God. Isn't that beautiful? It's not a religion thing. It's to bring us to God. It's to bring us into a relationship with him. And that's for me, and I think with the birth of all three my kids, when you receive that baby in your arms for the first time, and you come into the arms of a loving father, And I want to lay the foundation again for prayer. We don't pray to be with God. We pray out of a place where we abide. Milan, if you can just put the next scripture, John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask me what you will, and it shall be done to you. So we pray from a place of abiding, not to abide. We pray out of our position in Christ, not our condition. But here's the thing, if you receive Jesus, there's a rebirth that takes place in your heart. Your spirit is quickened. There's new life in your spirit. Your spirit becomes sensitive towards the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's a connection now. You can receive the Word of God. It's a rebirth that happens in your spirit. But up here in your mind is thought patterns that has been engraved over many years, that came about through hurt, that came about through disappointment, that came about through neglect. And those thought patterns, I just call it stinking thinking. They're not in line with the heart of the Father. They're not in line. So our condition in our hearts, there can actually still be deceit in our hearts, although your spirit is made new in Christ Jesus. So again, we pray from our position in Christ, but there might be still problems with our condition. So I want to look this morning at the condition of your heart that might hinder your prayers. And there's 5 points that the Lord laid on my heart for this morning. And the first one is unforgiveness. Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Those two scriptures are linked. Jesus said the one followed upon the other one. You know, unforgiveness it imprisons you. The beautiful thing of forgiveness is when you respond in faith upon the grace that God offers you, you are cleansed of all sin, of all unrighteousness. And we read in Matthew 18, the unforgiving servant, and the king made a decision to take accounts with his servants. And the first guy was brought to the king and he couldn't pay. And the king said, I'm just paraphrasing the story, he said, lock him up until the point that he should pay everything that he owed. And the guy fell on his knees and he begged for mercy. And Jesus, telling the parable, said the king had empathy in his heart and he said, I write off your debt. The very next thing is, it's very subtle. He went away from the king and he found another fellow servant that owed him a small amount. And he grabbed him by the throat, choking him, saying, pay what you owe. The same thing happened. The guy begged for mercy and he refused and he had him locked up. When the king heard about the story, he was furious. He said, you wicked servant, should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant as I have had compassion on you? You see, the thing is, it's easy to ask Jesus for forgiveness when you need it. But when you need to extend that same mercy, that same grace, which can't be earned, which can't be deserved, to other people, we become stingy with it. And then this thing happened, as the king said, he handed him over to the tormentors up until the point that he should pay everything that he owed. That tormentors is demonic. I've seen it so often in the lives of people. It can be physical torment that it will influence your health. It can be emotional torment that will torment you with nightmares, anxiety, depression. Whichever form of torment it might be emotional, it might be physical, but it can be both. What happens if you forgive? For me, it's born out of a place of gratitude, where you say, Lord, how dare I get stingy with your grace? If I've been forgiven of so much. And that can actually be a hindrance. You can claim it, name it, frame it. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, but I do believe in the gospel of provision. That can be a hindrance in your prayers if you walk in unforgiveness. And the worst thing, the worst of all, it can be an inroad for the demonic and torment in your life as well. I want to touch on the next point. I'm running through it. May the Holy Spirit guide us this morning. If there's anyone that has disappointed you, if there's anyone, I want to say, apart from the fact that it's born out of gratitude for the fact that you've been forgiven, if you choose to forgive, it doesn't justify what the person did. It doesn't necessarily make it right. You just choose out of a place of gratitude, Lord, I couldn't deserve your grace and your forgiveness. And the same that I received, I extend now. So that you can be an open vessel, that God can use you. Because that will be a hindrance even in boldness in praying for other people, because you can't give what you don't have. You need to be walking in freedom yourself before you can be salt and light for anyone in this world. Second point is lack of honor. 1 Peter 3 verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers might be effective, so that your prayers might not be hindered. You know, my wife is the weaker vessel. I'm not the strongest guy in the house. Dion, was she? If we arm wrestle, I'll win her. I'm physically stronger than her, you know. But as men, we can sometimes use our physical strength even and our body posture and the tone of our voice to intimidate our wives. You know, an angry man is a depressed man. An angry man is a bitter man. I've got a daughter, the oldest daughter, and a granddaughter. I don't want her to be with an abusive husband that will put her in danger, that will use his strength to intimidate her and to dominate her. I would like him to use his strength to protect them. Yes, man. God is so faithful, you know. I prayed for that guy. The day when I handed my daughter to him, I didn't ask him to take good care of her. When I shook his hand, I said, thank you, I know you will take good care of her. He's a well-tempered man. He's an elder in an RPM congregation. You guys who don't know him, I want him to walk in humbleness, so not to be boasted, but I love him so much. But I want him to use his strength to protect them. If we use us as husbands, if we don't honor our wives, that can be a hindrance in our prayers. You want a recipe for God not to answer you? If you're constantly angry, if you don't honor your wife, the way that you speak about your wife in front of other people, if you don't honor her, that will hinder your prayers. You know, in this world, we look at certain scenarios and we take worldly sayings and we apply it sometimes as biblical truth. The world says respect is earned. You gotta show, Mike Tyson said it as well, you gotta show me some respect and then I'll respect you. That's not the biblical way. That's not God's way. God's way is Galatians 5 verse 6, for Christ, I've got the wrong scripture. Just my notes are all demarcated now. Romans 5 verse 8. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Before you and I even made our first silly decision, whether on purpose, inadvertently, Christ became a curse on that cross. Jesus honored you. He honored me by laying down his life, setting the example that honor is not, in respect, is not always deserved. We honor because Christ honored us while we were yet sinners. Man, there's freedom in this, that you can honor people and you can even honor your wife, even though the conduct is not always perfect. It's not linked to performance. You honor someone because they're created in the image of God. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Just before I move on, you can put the scripture on. I think, just thinking of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, children, honor your parents. And also, he says that there's the first commandment that comes with a blessing is that we honor our mothers and our fathers as well. That's the first commandment that comes with a promise, a blessing, that it may go well with you and that you may live long. And if you take it like a thread throughout the Bible, in honoring people, there's always a reward. God rewards honor. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He rewards those who seek him. Some translation says, diligently seek him. Sometimes we pray out of emotions. So a prayer that can be hindered is praying out of fear or praying out of your emotions. And I remember the very first time when God used me in a deliverance situation. I've shared it before, maybe I'll share it again now. It was a guy that came out of tradition, and he was very... I just realized in speaking to him, he hadn't, you know, haven't had a relationship with God at all. And I led him to the Lord that evening, and I thought in the back of my head, I knew he needed deliverance, but I'll refer him to someone else. And in that evening, God said, no. And I wanted him to pray, and when he needed to open his mouth, he couldn't speak. There was something on his tongue that prevented him from speaking. And then the Lord said, now, and I just looked in his eyes and he said, I come against you. That's hindering him to speak. You release and leave in Jesus' name. And the next moment, the guy started roaring like a beast. Kept on for like half a minute. And when that thing left, it was like a big guy like Dion. The guy sat in front of me and he lifted his fist to hit me. Man, there wasn't time for any fear. The next thing that came out, I just said, release in Jesus' name. And as he came through to hit me with his fist, his hands dropped between his legs and he started sobbing like a baby. It was Afrikaans guy, and he said, Lord, I just need you so much. Started crying, just weeping, crying out to the Lord. And it's sometimes a place, you know, that fear can actually be a hindrance. There's a good example in Mark 9 where when the disciples wanted to cast out the demon and they couldn't. And afterwards, when they came to Jesus and they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. But it wasn't unbelief in the sense that they didn't believe in Jesus. They actually, fear kicked in. When Jesus addressed that demon, you know, there was a hectic manifestation. Foam came out of his mouth. He was screaming. He had an epileptic seizure. It was quite a show. And sometimes you got to know, you know, you can't hold on to pray out of emotions. You know, Job even said, what I feared came upon me. And sometimes, you know, I've heard ladies, you know, living in fear, not knowing when my husband's going to believe me, when I reach a certain age. And we can never place. There is a place where we can approach God in a time of need, where we are anxious, we might be anxious, but we've got to take those thoughts captive, not pray out of a place of emotions. But can even your emotions can sometimes be your biggest enemy. Just being able to take thoughts captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. I love what John says, 1 John 4, verse 17 to 18, the solution for fear. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Next one. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So for me, if you take this scripture and you take into consideration Galatians 5 verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. the greater your revelation is, and it's not head knowledge, the greater your heart knowledge is of the love of Jesus, the better your faith will operate. So I've always prayed, Lord, whenever I feel like I lack faith in any situation, Lord, I just pray for more love. There's only one thing that compels me. Whenever I make time for people to minister, to do counseling, to do deliverance, there's only one thing that drives me. It's the love of Christ that compels me to be, to see people set free and God taking them into the more. And I think it's personal. You know, John, even the disciple John, spoke about Jesus himself, Jesus loving him in such a way that he felt like a favorite. He said, the disciple whom Jesus loved much. And I don't think God is a respecter of person. His love is perfect for every single one of us. His love is absolute perfection. It's that agape love. But your revelation, your understanding, your heart knowledge of his love can differ. Some of us can have a greater understanding of his love. For me, it's so personal that I know for each and every one of us, there's one truth, is that as you accept what Jesus did on that cross, you got to know that he thought about you when he hanged on that cross. You were on his mind when he paid the price and the last innocent drop of blood was flowing out of his body. That's how personal it is. And if you can take hold of that, and if I'm able this morning to strip away everything that you've gathered in this life, there's only one thing that will carry eternal value and weight in your life, and it's exactly that. That Jesus thought about you when he hanged on that cross, and you said yes for that. And there's nothing that can separate you from his love. Man, even on your worst day, he made a promise he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That's amazing. And I think out of a place in walking in that, your faith will inadvertently operate and appropriate what it should. Your faith will be effective because faith works through love. So we got to guard our hearts. We aren't being overcome by emotions. But you pray out of a place where you miss the will of God, praying out of a place of fear. Right. Next scripture. James 1 verse 5 to 8. James, the brother of Jesus, writes the following. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and with no reproach, and it shall be given to him. That's a promise. But let him ask with faith, doubting not, for he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven by the wind and tossed. For do not let that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, not dependable in all his ways. Yes, man, sometimes, as I've mentioned, your hindrance is not necessary unbelief, the fact that you don't believe in Jesus. Your hindrance can be doubt working against what your faith should appropriate. How do you overcome doubt? I always say you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent it from making a nest there. We have to take thoughts captive. I may wake up in the morning and I might feel, Lord, there's some financial challenge. You know, is there going to be enough? All the bills to pay. We don't just embrace thoughts and entertain it. The Bible says that we can take our thoughts captive and we bring it to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5, for the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds, to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So if I wake up in the morning and there's any form of anxiety, I immediately address that thing and I bring that thought captive. I say, Lord, you made a promise. You will look after me. All the gold and the silver belongs to you. The cattle on a thousand hills is yours. You said, look at the birds. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather in barns. Aren't you of more value? Lord, I thank you, Father, that you, your word says that you will provide in all my riches according, all my needs. You will provide in all my needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Man, I speak it out loud because Proverbs 18, you can put that on, please, Lonnie. Proverbs 18 says the following, death and life are in the power of a tongue, and those who love it, love to use it, will eat its fruit. So Holy Spirit put some scriptures in a specific order. Knowing how often we speak death with our tongues, death and life is in the power of a tongue. I want to tell you this, if you speak life over your situation, if you speak life in the name of Jesus, as a reborn believer and a child of God, your spiritual, your spoken word, it's not an arrogant thing, carries authority in the spiritual realm. If you are caught up in this anxiety or stress, every challenging situation, you can stand on that promise. Lord, I thank you that you made a promise. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Thank you, Father, that you are true to your word. You don't just passively embrace that thought. You take a thought that's rising up against the truth of Jesus. You take that thing captive. You take it captive, you don't embrace it passively, and you bring it to the obedience of Christ. And you do that by your spoken word. Emsley said it this morning. We are to bless, we are to speak life in the name of Jesus. Jeffrey, do you have faith to come up quickly? Come here this morning. Come here, my friend. Jeffrey, I met Jeffrey now a week or two ago. And his heart is with the Lord, you know, but he's not slotted into family. So when I met him, I actually, I picked up his, he had some backache. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to share you, yeah, you can share quickly what the Lord did.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's your year. My name is Jeffrey. I've just come to say, to tell everybody how God's power worked through this gentleman, Vili, and I met Vili there at the Mossel Bay Municipality Yard that morning, and I told Vili I've got a back problem, my lower back, I've got a problem there. And Vili see through me, and Vili said, can I pray for you? I said, yes, Vili, I believe that you, God can work through you. And Vili prayed for me that morning. Since that morning, the back problem is gone. So I say thank you to the Lord. Thank you, Vali. Thank you, Vali.
Love you, man. Yes. Yeah. Man, it's so good. We give all glory and honor immediately to Jesus. He's the healer. So I just want to, on that point, you know, if I speak life and I take up authority, Jesus has given his disciples, Matthew 10, authority to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. So he's given us authority. If I were to enter this auditorium this morning and it was still dark and I flip the switch and the light goes on, it's not my power. Eskom is generating, maybe it's a bad example. Eskom is generating the power. It's the yeah, man, it's the power company that generates the power, but it's at my command. I flip the switch and the light comes on, but it's nothing. I'm just a conduit, man. I can't without Christ, I'm nothing. I can do nothing without him. John 14, 15. But often we passively embrace so much stuff by just being passive and not taking up our authority with our spoken word. Man, if you can just realize, I've never cast out a demon out of anyone with a silent prayer. I've always used my tongue, spoken word. That thing has ears, it can hear, and it must leave and it must submit under the name of Jesus. But it's not just for the application of casting out demons and healing the sick. It's sometimes necessary to take thoughts captive that is rising up against the truth of Jesus. To take those thoughts captive, you got to proclaim the truth of this word over your body. You've got to proclaim the truth of His word over your life. Thanks, Jeff, man. I appreciate it. So he's been invited by to church quite a few times by Sylvia, my understanding is, and the healing did the job. He came now. Welcome to family, eh? Psalm 68, God adds the lonely into family. It's so wonderful to see you this morning, yeah. Right. The last point, coming in for a landing. The fifth point is not walking in the light. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, God is calling us as a people to walk in His light. Jesus is light. I'll put it this way. In the kingdom, there's no secrets, but there's sensitivity. So it's not to humiliate anyone. We all have struggles. We're all fighting our battles. But there is something in the Father's heart that in a family, in the life of family, there is this thing that we need to share our burdens and we need to share our struggles and we need to confess our sins. I'll show it to James 5 verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Okay. So the enemy wants you to keep stuff in the dark. He wants everything to be hidden. So here's the powerhouse scripture again. The prayer of a righteous person. And the only thing that makes us righteous is the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus, nothing else. It's not based on my works. It's not based on my performance. It's only the blood of Jesus that puts me in the right standing with a holy, perfect God. And the Bible says the blood of a pair of a righteous, a blood-washed child of God, has great power as it is working. But there's also a prerequisite. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. And I've seen it so often, when you take liberty and not hiding that stuff, when you come into family, when you are added into family and you join a community, and you take a brother or a sister in your trust, whether it's an elder, whether it's your community leader, but you bring your sin, but your struggle into the light, God's freedom comes. That burden is lifted. I've ministered to quite a few people here. I've seen the power of it. I've seen it that God is true to His word, that they say what they do and they do what they say. If you bring that stuff into the light, the enemy loses his foothold. The enemy wants to keep stuff in the dark. As we allow God to shine His light on it, darkness will flee. It will flee. And when you walk this road in accountability, but if you don't obey this word, it's like the blessing won't come. Blessed are those who hear and obey. So confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. But you can see there can be hindrance even in your healing if you don't confess. So that's the last point. I trust this morning that the Holy Spirit came, you know, and God is a gentleman. I just want to add this. It's not like I've walked in perfection of any of this. It's not like I've arrived. Yet God has answered many of my prayers by His grace. But I do believe there's a difference. When you make a mistake, there's still some flesh in us, and when something becomes habitual sin in your life. And that's a dangerous place. When something becomes habitual sin in your life, and God is actually continuing to answer prayers, He's reinforcing ungodly behavior. And I think that's my heart this morning, is that in the various 5 points that I've shared this morning, I want you this morning, as the Holy Spirit brings conviction. I'm going to hand over to Emsley now, but to respond on the Word of God. You know, it's kind of a different approach that I had this morning with prayer. But our prayers can be hindered. That's a reality due to the condition of our hearts. But the word is a sharp instrument. You know, this is a doctor wat met 'n naald kom. You know, it's like a sword. That thing has a sharp point. And I come to Trevor with a needle. You know, he's like, no, man, you're going to hurt me. It's like a doctor coming actually with a needle. We got to be sensitive when we bring truth. And this is not to condemn this morning. It's to bring conviction. It's not condemnation. It's to convict. And that picture that we saw of a dinosaur this morning, the sword coming and actually cutting away what is not from God. The flat tire that I had prophetically this morning on my way to work, you know, I wouldn't have reached my destination this morning if I kept on driving. It would have been a hindrance. And I think sometimes we need to get rid of these hindrances to walk in the fullness of what God has in store for us. And so I hand over to you, and it as this for it leads.
Thank you, Willie. I think what's important this morning is that we realize that God has called us to speak His will into existence on this earth. And with His authority to ask for what we need. And also ask for what others need. And therefore it's so important that there's things that can hinder that. How sad you ask the Lord for something and your prayers get blocked. And it's for us as a church so important to become more effective in prayer.